you know?
Yeah, jerk. with your common decency and kindness about my illness.
I know, I'm just too goddamn polite.
I know, get the fuck over yourself. Anyway, you're listening to Adventures in Pod Taste, an AIPT Comics podcast. I don't know where we're going to start that one, but why don't we just start here, because we're already about like 10 minutes into this recording process. My name is Jason, and you have joined us here at Adventures in Pod Taste, an AIPT Comics podcast. Hello, welcome, and bienvenue, and hi. All of the usual things that I say, welcome, and thank you for checking us out on this I'm gonna call it a sunny Wednesday. Yeah.
Yes.
Because I'm optimistic. We're gonna be talking about all the things that ever nerded up Nerdtown this week. We're gonna be talking about hamburgers. We're gonna be talking about why it's important to invest in heat lamps when you're trying to serve 300 hamburgers to hungry college kids, and why it's not impressive when you're a millionaire to say that you sprung for 300 hamburgers for people. But I'm not going to do this all by myself, and we're also going to talk about other stuff. So joining me today so that I am not talking to myself, we have, of course, I'm going to say my left, because I kind of always imagine that you're sitting over there. Mr. Diamond Dave Hildebrand, say hi, Dave.
What's up, man? And that's funny, because I always picture you to my left as well.
We're just a big circle. Everyone's to everyone's left, which would mean that to my other left, like slightly further to my left, and also technically kind of on my right, we have Ms. Allie Jackson. Say hi, Allie.
Hey, guys. I always assume that I'm kitty-cornered, you know, to everybody. I don't know how that's mathematically possible, but that's where I like to be.
So we're like an isosceles triangle is what we're going to have?
Yes, yes. What's the A plus B equals C?
That's the Pythagorean theorem that you're working
right on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's triangles, right? I didn't take much math.
it's been a hot minute since I had to do geometry, and I think I've discussed this before. I hated that class most because when we got to discussing adjacent angles, my name's right in the fucking middle there, and every time I was not paying attention, I hear adjacent. I'm like, what? Oh, not me.
Well, you just should have been paying attention, shouldn't you have there, sir?
Yes, my illustrious geometry career would have really taken off if I had spent that time listening in 10th grade.
You were probably a drawer in class, weren't you?
I definitely was. Uh-huh. I got in trouble a couple of times for drawing on the desk itself.
Oh,
yeah.
You were one of those.
It washes off. Who gives a shit?
Like, oh, so you didn't carve it in with your
pencil? No, I didn't carve it. I'm a juvenile delinquent. Like, I didn't walk into my fucking Catholic school with a knife and then carve my initials into the damn desk.
Oh, see, in my head, that's exactly what you did. You had, like, your ties sort of brushed down a little bit and the top button. No ties.
No, our uniform was super fucking lazy. It was basically a polo shirt and then like some like blue slacks. But then they also gave us like an even lazier shirt that was just like a button-down shirt and khakis. And then we kind of got like a weird combination of it.
Those nuns were not holding the...
See, I think that's the issue here. It was a... we had no nuns. We had brothers that were running around. It was a Marianist school, which, despite it being named in the honor of the Virgin Mary, is run by brothers.
Right.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. I my priests growing up were La Salette priests, and that is the Lady of La Salette. So there you go. Mary rules all. Catholic out!
Lapsed Catholic, still here. Anyway. hamburgers, you guys. What the fuck? Now we don't have to talk about that. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. But it was probably the funniest image that I've ever seen. The best take that I heard of it was on Twitter somewhere, where someone said it was that famous picture now of Trump with all the fucking hamburgers. And it says, you know, this looks like a set piece for a movie in which a child became president. And that's basically what it comes down to at this point. It's like having a child for president.
It should have been a shot from Idiocracy. Like, I would have been very unsurprised if that... I've actually never seen it, but...
What?
I know. It's on my list.
What plants crave. Actually, that was a joke that your boyfriend Chris Evans actually made when he saw that picture. He said, Brando's got what plants crave. That's an Idiocracy reference.
He did make that, and I didn't get it, and I'm sad.
I mean,
you know, picture that...
Well, go ahead, Dave.
Sorry, man. I'm delayed for a second. I was going to say, the picture that killed me was the presidential paper cups filled with French fries.
Oh God, yeah. Well, they also had like the silver trays, like loaded with up with sauce. Fucking like yeah, with sweet and sour sauce and shit.
Can I just put on my Southern woman / Italian woman hat for a moment and just say, every White House first lady is turning over in their graves or are in their homes gasping and clutching their pearls, because you do not invite people to your house and serve them lukewarm fast food.
Well,
and
first of all, I feel like Michelle Obama did not clutch any pearls. She just looked at it and goes, of course.
Yes, seriously. It's like, especially as, you know, she was the healthy first lady who would have gone out in the garden and picked green beans and served those. You know, just that the supreme rudeness of, you are inviting guests to your home and this is what you serve them?
Well, and he bragged in his tweet, like, I got them some fast food, quote, I paid. Like, yeah, you're a millionaire president, you fucking dill hole. Of course you paid for the goddamn hamburgers to the fucking championship team you invited to your goddamn house.
And he has his own fucking hotel, which has been serving people, you know, and he's been reaping the rewards for it for 2 years now across the goddamn street. And, you know, they have a working kitchen. They couldn't have catered from there. And surely his germaphobe weirdo things could handle his own restaurant's food.
Yeah. And I really have to imagine, like, I'm no fan of George W. Bush or of his wife or anybody in his family, really. It's a bit of a dark dynasty there. But I guarantee you, if this shit happened, if the cook staff was like on furlough or whatever, fucking, they would have cooked the fucking food. Like, that's how a Southern woman fucking gets down in Texas.
Amen.
Would cook for the entire fucking Clemson team and be like, this is ridiculous. And you know what? That would have been fucking amazing PR. They would have looked fantastic for doing something like that. That's
Melania doesn't know how to cook. Oh, bless your heart.
She knows how to press the buttons on the microwave, presumably.
I don't think she's ever seen the microwave.
She could have at least heated up those fucking burgers.
I mean, I just...
Microwave, you know, McDonald's fries, yeah.
Just the, you know, the optics are horrible, obviously. But it's also... not just, you know, to us. It's embarrassing to us as the American public that this is what's happening. But it's also the most stereotypical American thing that you would see in, like, a foreign TV show or something when they're making fun of Americans.
Yeah, I was going to say this. That was probably, like, a joke somewhere about the president serving hamburgers to people from fucking McDonald's.
Well, when I first saw the picture, I thought it was a joke. And I was like, wait, this is a joke. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me right now.
Yeah.
Even the Onion couldn't come up with something like that. Oh, our new reality, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. But yeah,
hopefully
what's
not
sad
for
is
not too long.
It's just sad that, I mean, I hate Clemson, but you know, they earned this honor. I wouldn't have gone, but
one of the fucking yeah. I mean, I feel like they're certainly not like on the level of like LeBron James or something, but like, you know, you can turn down that invitation.
Yes,
although at the same time, it's like, you know, it is the White House. Another great take that I saw was someone saying, you know, going to the White House for being invited to the White House for a dinner and being served cold McDonald's is a lot like going to the White House and having Donald Trump be the president. It's just disappointment all around.
So true. And the last thing I will say, and you know, this is not a politics podcast, but this is a big thing that's happened in our culture.
Adventures in politics.
Oh gosh, I'm sure we could pull that off.
Yeah,
but
seventh podcast for this.
But you know, just to say, if Obama had done this, can you imagine the Fox News headlines?
Oh my God. It would just be on the cover of like whatever fucking rag they're trying to put out there. It would just say tacky at the top.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Which is really what I feel like the Huffington Post really dropped the ball by not doing just that. But alas, Arianna Huffington and I are no longer on speaking terms, so she's not returning many of my calls for these sorts of things. Pearls before swine, I say, but you know.
So true.
Yeah. But you know what?
Some fun news.
I was going to say, you know what did happen recently that was kind of interesting? The Spider-Man Homecoming trailer came out.
It
looks pretty damn good, in my opinion.
Can y'all help me out with this?
Because, go for it.
Okay. So
Spider-Man is a superhero.
Oh, thank you. See, this is my first thing. I just had no idea who Spider-Man was.
He is a man made of spiders.
Oh gosh, like Oogie Boogie. Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yes, exactly like Oogie Boogie.
So, I am late to comics in my life. And even when I was not a big Spider-Man reader, the only Spidey book that I've actually had read and read a fair amount of is Miles Morales.
Sure.
So I did not recognize any of the bad guys and or good guys that appeared in this trailer. So help me out, y'all. Who are these folks?
Well, I was going to say what, but I'm not that surprised about it. Mysterio is, okay. So there are arguably 4 bad guys, maybe 5 bad guys in this movie. We see the elemental bad guys. There's a water guy, a fire guy, an earth guy, and I guess presumably a wind
guy.
And then Captain Planet comes out. The water guy, who I know is in it, and that's confirmed, is Hydro Man. He's a water guy. That's basically it. He turns himself into water. He controls water. He's a water elemental spirit. If you ever played Dungeons and Dragons, he's a water elemental. Actually, all of these guys are basically elementals. The Earth one, which we also see a brief glimpse of, I'm going to assume is going to be the, quote, MCU or the Sony MCU or however we're delineating the Spider-Verse at this point. That's not the Spider-Verse movie. Is presumably their take on the Sandman, who you may have seen in the terrible Spider-Man 3 from Sam Raimi.
I never saw Spider-Man 3.
Oh, he was so lucky. He was played by the guy from Sideways, Thomas
Paul
Hayden.
Giamatti?
Yeah, Paul Giamatti. Yeah, no, Paul Giamatti was in Spider-Man, but he played the Rhino, like a terrible, embarrassing version of the Rhino in what was a cool part for the trailer, and then it turns out that was literally all that was in the movie for. Then there's a fire guy, and I don't know who that's supposed to be. Presumably, there's going to be a wind guy. I don't know who that's supposed to be. But you might have noticed a dude in a green suit who was played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and that is Mysterio, presumably the real villain of the movie, although the early material seems to paint him as something of a superhero.
So he's not Asgardian.
He is not Asgardian. No, that whole line at the end where they say he's like Iron Man mixed with Thor is just stupid teen speak, because teens are stupid. Yeah, I'm not going to retreat from that statement. But don't fight me, teens. You're younger and more lively than I, and you'll probably beat me up. Mysterio's whole thing is that he's a disgraced movie special effects guy who is the best in the business. And so he actually has created, because of course in comic universes, the best in any business is also a super genius who's created all these incredible inventions that would literally change the world. But, they used to rob banks and stuff. He's created hard light holograms that create illusions that you can't really discern from reality and falsehood. He's the best at it, as I said, so much so that in the Old Man Logan series, Mysterio was how they tricked Wolverine into killing the rest of the X-Men, so they managed to baffle his advanced senses and everything. He wears a big green leotard, a purple cape, and a fishbowl on his head. And he's kind of awesome. I love Mysterio as far as the Spider-Man original rogues gallery goes. I'm kind of a fan of his and Kraven more than most of the other guys. But they're implying that he's sort of acting as a hero in this trailer. But knowing how Mysterio operates, it's probably like a ruse. He probably created and is faking the fire, water, earth guys so that he can look like a hero. He's like Syndrome in The Incredibles,
basically. Ah, got it. Okay.
That's how I'm predicting it, based off of what I know about Mysterio in the trailer.
Sure, that makes sense. I would buy that.
So beyond my armchair quarterbacking of this, what did you guys think of the trailer?
I think it looks great. It's definitely, a sequel trailer. I think it's pretty typical for, you know, their first movie is set in the States. And the second movie, you got to go abroad because it's boring to blow up New York every freaking time. So now we're going to go blow up London. Just like they did in Thor. So there's that. It seemed a little light on plot. You know, we'll see if more comes out in the actual movie. Okay. Hot take. Hot question. Happy Hogan, Aunt May.
Nope.
You're not starting up a romance? You think that was a red herring?
As soon as I saw that, I was like, no. Don't.
No, I think that it's going to be Happy's into her, but nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Why would he not be into her? Because Alyssa Milano.
Right. It's not Alyssa Milano.
No, it's not Alyssa Milano.
What the hell?
Marissa Tomei.
Alyssa
Milano.
They're just hot older ladies.
Oh, my God.
Although Marissa Tomei is much older than Alyssa Milano, I believe.
Yeah. She's looking hot in her 50s.
She looks fantastic in her 50s, is what she is.
Girlfriend can get it. I don't know. I think it would be a really fun twist if they actually turned out to be dating. I would be okay with it. I love Happy.
I mean, I want Happy to be happy, but I guess, you know what, they kind of spoil. In the comics, Happy Hogan gets with Pepper Potts.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
They are not going to do that in the movies. No, of course.
They didn't make Pepper a superhero, so, you know, there was my hope down the drain.
I mean, arguably, you don't know what's going to happen in Endgame.
And she got to wear the armor in Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
she
for got, like a hot she got, second.
She got like the fucking extremist virus in part 3. Like, she fell into the fire and survived and then like beat up the bad guy wearing only a sports bra.
Yes, but she doesn't have a suit. She needs to be rescue. I'm still holding out for rescue.
That sounds like a desperate plea for help. Someone please help Allie. She's holding out for rescue.
I'll put it seen on a DVD somewhere.
Yeah.
I just need more badass lady superheroes. It's just what I want.
Well, I mean, I don't have a follow-up for that, actually. You got Captain Marvel coming out soon.
Yeah.
One. Great. Well, two. I've got Wonder Woman and I've got her. Awesome.
And they're working on at least the script, I think, of the Black Widow.
I feel like with the way Scarlett Johansson's been, I just don't know if I want that.
Yeah, she's I'm not too real excited.
Problematic lately.
About a Black Widow film.
What has Scarlett Johansson done except be gorgeous?
She's been doing some problematic things when it comes to race relations in roles.
Because she took that role in fucking the, what's it called?
She took it and then she stood by it. Like, she did not understand why people were upset about it, and that is problematic. And
first of all, that I feel like that's overblown. Like, I absolutely believe that there should be a better representation of Asians in cinema, especially in movies that are based almost entirely in Asia on a traditionally Japanese product, and, you know, all that stuff. I absolutely agree with that. That being said, when the producers hire you to do a job, it's not your fault that you got hired for that job.
Like, you don't have to go out for that part.
I don't know that she did. She's a big enough star that they might have been like, we want to get like a big name to be in this movie because it's a property that a lot of Americans don't know. And America, despite the fact that China is quickly overtaking us in movie ticket sales, America is still the biggest market for movies. So why not get a name brand star? Like, unfortunately, and I want this to change, of course, there aren't a lot of Asian women stars that are out there that are big enough to launch a movie.
And yeah, but that still doesn't make it right.
It's no fault of theirs. Oh, sure.
If this is you as a performer, if this is something that you feel is important to you, then and she talks a lot of game about being a feminist. You know, she was there at the March on Washington, you know, speaking up about being inclusive and inclusive rights. I'm just saying, if you're going to walk the walk, or if you're going to talk the talk, you need to walk the walk. It's up to her responsibility to know that this property featured an Asian woman, and maybe it's not great optics, especially now. Like, this was after the blowout from Aloha, so this is not a new idea.
But she wasn't in Aloha, though. And wait, the blowout from Aloha. Aloha was just a shit movie. I don't think a lot of people, I don't feel like Emma Stone came out looking like garbage for playing a half Japanese woman, despite
she didn't look good. And there was a lot of chatter about it. There still is a lot of chatter about it.
The only reason I even remember Aloha was that in my neighborhood, specifically in Chicago, there was this huge billboard for Aloha that was up for an entire fucking year. For whatever reason, they never took it down. And it's right in this big, like, causeway of a lot of foot traffic and a lot of people driving through every day. And so on its 1 year anniversary, they actually scheduled a luau in the park that's right there in the square from one of the local restaurants. And that was what prompted them to take the fucking thing down. Like, all right, this is already becoming a joke at this point. But there was the Aloha billboard memorial, like 1 year anniversary. Yeah, that movie looked like trash though. But
and the whole time you all are going at it, I'm thinking, what the hell film are we pissed about? And then it hit me, Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah. Yes, Ghost in the Shell.
Which I didn't even bother watching.
I didn't see it either. No. I like the anime.
So do I.
Perfectly fine, but I feel like this with actually every anime movie. Like when it's a live action movie, it's not going to be good. Like the anime that I enjoy typically takes like time to build something. And it, like, that's what makes it good, is that you spent your time developing characters or plot or an action sequence. Whereas trying to cram the entire first season of Ghost in the Shell into a movie, they didn't even do it well with the fucking anime movie. Why would I think that Scarlett Johansson's going to make it better?
Right.
Well, isn't half the point of enjoying an anime the animation?
Sure, but there's also something to be said about like storyline, and like, you know, I love comics, I love the art in comics, but I enjoy superhero movies.
Oh, that's fair. But most anime are series, right?
Yeah, it's pretty seldom that it's a movie first. It's usually like a manga that's adapted.
Well, there you go. Anyway, yeah. I'm not an anime fan. Sorry guys, sorry Japan. I apologize. It's just not my thing.
Well, I lived in Japan, you know, in case I haven't made that clear on here. So
we know, because you're a fucking hipster.
I don't think that's a hipster thing, but it's anyway,
totally a hipster thing.
I feel like I got the weeaboo thing covered for us. Although Dave seems to also watch some anime here and there. But yeah, I mean, Spider-Man. Do we want to keep talking about Spider-Man? We kind of got off on a really crazy tangent there. A lot of cool Easter eggs, actually, in the Spider-Man trailer. And if you go on adventuresinpoortaste.com, you can find an article by Nathan Simmons exploring a couple of those things. But some really cool stuff to look forward to. I think it's going to be a pretty good movie. I enjoyed Homecoming. It's one of the few movies that I really differentiate my opinion, like pretty drastically different than Movie Bob. Bob Chipman, who we've talked about, I believe, last week. A lot of times I take his opinions as like pretty sacrosanct before I see a movie. Like, oh, well, this is a good sign that this guy liked it.
He
did not. He like vehemently dislikes it. And it bothers me. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's crazy. All right,
I guess I don't agree with you a lot of some of the time anyway.
But anyway. Jeez.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on Spider-Man before we move on?
Yeah, I'll speak about Mysterio. I was never a huge Mysterio fan, but seeing him in the trailer, man, he looks pretty decent.
Yeah, they even gave him the fishbowl in that one quick action sequence, which I swore they wouldn't do, because it feels like if you get a big name celebrity, you don't want them in a mask.
But you gotta have the costume, man.
Oh, I agree.
You can't spin it up too much. You know, you're gonna catch a lot of flack for that.
And I think that the costume
would solid look enough to keep close to source.
Yeah, I think the costume would look kind of silly without the fishbowl, which is a weird thing to say about a guy with a fishbowl on his head.
Right.
That it looks less silly with it than it does when it's just like the green gladiator costume with the gauntlets and the cape and shit.
Okay, well, I have one last tangent, but not. It is on topic. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sure.
We know that there's going to be big name actors in all of these roles. There already are. But, you know, Robert Downey Jr., I feel like so instantly kind of became Tony Stark, or already sort of was, and then now they're really, like, he is Tony Stark when I see him on screen.
Sure. He was Tony Stark in the 80s when he was getting arrested for substance abuse.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I would say that a lot of Tony Stark's personality in the comics over the years was largely like adapted around things like Robert Downey Jr., people of that stature.
Yes, and we can get into how much Marvel is good at casting people in their roles that resemble those characters.
Oh, Samuel L. Jackson. They literally recreated Nick Fury to be Samuel L. Yes, Jackson.
Exactly. So, but there's Jake Gyllenhaal. He does not always disappear into roles for me personally.
Did you see Nightcrawler?
I did not see Nightcrawler. Now, like I'm saying, this is not always, but sometimes. And I think for some reason in this part, I just saw it and I was like, oh, it's just Jake Gyllenhaal. Like it didn't, maybe because I don't have any connection with the character.
He had one line in the trailer.
I don't know. It just, his face is so recognizable and it just looks like him. I don't know. I wonder if I'm going to have a hard time divesting myself from that person into the part.
I'm not a Jake Gyllenhaal fan by and large. Nightcrawler is one of only a handful of movies that he's in that I actually enjoy and enjoy him in. But I don't know. I'll give him a shot. I feel like he's not an untalented actor.
He's a very talented actor.
He's just someone whose charisma doesn't like vibe with my personal preferences most of the time. But that being said, you know, he can, I feel like he could probably pull this role off. Like, I don't know. I saw him say one line. So, like, we'll see. We'll see how he turns out. I don't know, Dave, you have opinions on Jake Gyllenhaal?
I mean, I'm going through what movies he's been in, and obviously I've seen Donnie Darko.
Oh, I hated that fucking movie.
Zodiac?
Day After Tomorrow sucked.
End of Watch he was really good in.
He was excellent in Zodiac. Really, really good in Zodiac.
Yeah. I saw Jarhead. I've seen Brokeback Mountain.
Brokeback Mountain was good in that. I feel like that was Heath Ledger's movie, frankly. Like, the only time that Jake Gyllenhaal stands out to me in that movie is that the angry, like, I wish I knew how to quit you sequence, where he's like, you know, I need more than a couple high altitude fucks a year, you know, that sort of thing. That scene was strong, but the rest of the movie, I don't know. I didn't like Jack Twist.
Well, he's kind of an asshole. I mean, it's sort of the character.
Yeah.
Love and Other Drugs. That's the film I'm thinking of.
We're getting so off topic.
I don't know. We'll come back to topic eventually, as we always do. But yeah, you know what? Actually, why don't we take a short little break here, because when we come back, we're going to continue our series on fandoms, and we're going to be discussing a little known Lego series, I think it is. They make Legos of these guys, right? And little dudes. We're going to be talking about the wizarding world of Harry Potter, not just the theme park, when we come back on Adventures in Pod Taste, an AIPT Comics podcast. I feel like the collector market isn't really a place to make money anymore.
No, not anymore. eBay's killed it for everybody.
You know what else it's killed? Adventures in Pod Taste, the AIPT Comics podcast. Thank you for coming back. We have not been killed by eBay. We murdered eBay. Yeah, we're going to kill eBay. It's not going to come back. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little off track. We are talking fandoms today, and wouldn't you know it, today we're talking with Ali Jackson about Harry Potter, which I guess is a book series and successful film series, it turns out. So Ali, why don't you give us a little bit of a elevator pitch, as you put it last week. What's the big deal with Harry Potter? Why should we be interested in HP?
If you are interested in children's books, if you're interested in YA books, if you're interested in school stories, coming of age stories, if you're interested in fantasy, if you're interested in political allegory, if you're interested in humor and amazing characters and fun relationships and watching characters grow and develop over 7 books, then this is the series for you. And the great thing about this series is there are, it's based in the books. Like, if you want to get the full experience, I'm sorry, guys, you have to read the books. The movies do a really good job, actually, as far as properties go. I know one of my friends in particular hates the movies, but I love them. And there are 8 of them, so that you can actually get, you know, a little bit more of a fuller experience. They did break the last ginormous book into 2. But there's a whole amazing universe that J.K. Rowling created. And I think the best part about being a fan and why this is one of the best fandoms to be in is that not only has she created a really cool world with a ton of depth and room to play, but she loves fan art and fan fiction. She loves fandom participation. And that is not super common. There are not very many creators who are so open to people playing in her world and support it. The biggest source of extra information and like kind of the number one place you can go to play around in the universe is JK's own website called Pottermore. When you go there, you can get sorted into your Hogwarts house.
Wait. Stop you right there.
Okay.
Sorted into a Hogwarts house. I have a basic concept of this, that there are... So Hogwarts is the school that they go to, the wizarding school, where you get to learn to make rabbits disappear.
That's exactly what you get to do. Pull
the Empire State Building out of your hat. And they're separated into 4 separate cliques, 4 separate teams, 4 separate houses, I guess. Now, what are the houses? What are the distinctions there? What do we as noobs need to know about this whole process? Because that's, you throw a lot of things when you talk about Harry Potter, and there's so much lore that it can seem dense to a lot of people.
Sure. So, well, the nice thing is, if you want to get into it, so JK did something really interesting that I don't know if any other book series has done this, or she was maybe kind of the first one. She grew the series, she aged it as her readers aged. So the first book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, if you are reading the British version, is a children's book. It is for kids. The main characters are 11 years old. And then each book got progressively more intricate and more depth and more adult as the series went on. And so the last book is kind of bordering on an adult book. It's about war. So the first book is a school story, and she's basing it on British public schools. So in a lot of British, and by public, we mean private. In Britain, public schools are private schools. So when you go to these schools, they're often houses that you're a part of, and they're like the dorm that you live in. They're your group of friends that you eat lunch with, you study with. So that's at Hogwarts. You get sorted into one of these 4 houses when you join the school. And there were 4 founders of Hogwarts: Helga Hufflepuff, Salazar Slytherin, Rowena Ravenclaw, and Godric Gryffindor. And each one of them Each one of them valued different things in their students. So Godric Gryffindor said, I want to take students who are really brave, brave, courageous, unafraid to take risks. Rowena Ravenclaw said, I want to take students who are very clever, who are the smartest. Those are the ones that I want to teach. Slytherin said, I want to teach ones who are bold and looking out for themselves and maybe a little interested in dark things. And Helga Hufflepuff was the sweet one. She said, you know what? I'll take anybody as long as they're hardworking. That's who I want in my house. So
they're the losers.
No. That was common in the beginning. Hufflepuff's got a bad name, but Hufflepuffs really have reclaimed themselves. I consider myself a Gryffindor. There are a lot of people who, you know, see themselves sort of in the middle. And
sounds like a Pokemon.
The sorting hat. So at one point the founder said, you know, we might not be here forever, so we're going to make this hat magic, and it's going to decide what house you go into. And the hat does take into consideration what house you want to be in. So if it's on the fence, you could go into one or the other. It'll say, which one do you want to be in? And you could say this one, and then that'll probably where it'll put you. So Gryffindors tend to be brave, tend to be really brave, but they also tend to be kind of foolhardy. They can be, you know, taking risks, not always thinking before they jump. Ravenclaws are very cerebral, very brainy. They can also be very dreamy and kind of lost in their thoughts. Hufflepuffs are
dorks.
They're steady. They're steady. They're loyal. They're hardworking. I love the Hufflepuffs. And there's a little controversy because in the books, most of the Slytherins are, they can be evil and they can be jerks and bullies. But there's also been a big fandom resurgence about the good parts of Slytherin and why it's good to be a Slytherin. There are many famous people who identify as Slytherins, including Lin-Manuel Miranda, writer-performer of Hamilton.
That dude's got Hufflepuff written all over his ass.
So kind of the main story, the main arc of these books is Harry, there was this evil wizard named Voldemort, who is kind of the wizard equivalent of Hitler. He believed that only wizards of pure blood should be taught magic and should be able to perform magic, even though he himself was not a pure blood. Yes. So
he's a self-hating muggle?
Yes. Muggles are what British wizards call regular people. In the US, they're called nomadges. Like, you have no magic. It's a terrible name.
That's stupid as hell.
Yeah.
Is there an American school that's a counteract? Like, it's like the Jefferson High technical equivalent of Pottermore or of
Hogwarts. Yes.
Hogwarts.
It is called Ilvermorny. There is a British, French school called Beauxbatons. There is a school in, it's either in Germany or Russia. It's not really clear where it is, called Durmstrang. And that's actually part of it. All the schools are very secretive about where they are because, you know, they have closely guarded secrets and each one of them kind of teaches different things. So Durmstrang teaches more dark magic. So yeah, it's this, like I said, it's a very, very deep, rich world that she's created. And to be in this fandom is super fun because you can do whatever you want. So it's a great place to be if you are a fan writer or a fan artist. There's a huge, huge, huge community of fan people. And with that, it's also one of the most batshit insane groups of fans ever. To give you a little example, I believe it was between books 5 and 6. So book 6 was about to be published. And I think this was 2005, 2006. Before this book was published, there are... Okay, so we've talked about shipping before, right?
Yes, we've talked about shipping.
Yeah. Okay. So when you have a specific ship, there are specific characters that you believe should be together. And there is something called OTP, which is your one true pair. Those are the people you believe above all should be together. And in the Potterverse, there's like a bazillion of them. But some of the most common are Harry, Hermione, Draco and Harry, Remus and Sirius.
Who's Remus and who's Sirius?
So Remus...
They're in the Irish house.
There are Irish wizards. You see them play Quidditch.
There's Quidditch hooligans is what we can anticipate from that.
Yes. You actually get into that a little bit. Quidditch is the wizard equivalent of football, and it's delightful. The scoring makes no sense, but we won't get into that. Remus Lupin is the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher in the third book. He also comes back later and becomes a member of the Order of the Phoenix, which is the group that is fighting against Voldemort as he's trying to come back. And Sirius Black is... he has been in prison for murdering a bunch of muggles and wizards. Like you do. He was also Harry's father's best friend when they were in school. So that's a big, their story is very big in book 3 of where the two of them are introduced.
I see.
Okay. Anyway, so there's a huge argument at this point in fandom of whether J.K. Rowling is going to put Harry with Hermione, or if she's going to put Hermione with Ron. So before the run-up, so book six comes out, we get it established. Ron and Hermione are together. Sorry if this is a spoiler. And then Harry hooks up with Ginny, Ron's younger sister. The Potter, right? The Harry Hermione people go crazy. All of the ships in Harry Potter had names. I don't know why, but so Harry Hermione shippers were called the Pumpkin Pyres.
There's nothing like sexy or cute about that, I guess. That's
Guns and Handcuffs was Harry Draco, and I won't even get into that. The fans rented a billboard in Times Square saying that J.K. Rowling was wrong and Harry belonged with Hermione. This is the level of crazy happening in this fandom. There is a website called Fandom Wank. I think I've talked about this before, where you can go and read all of the batshit insane things that have happened in fandoms, like that cross over into real life shenanigans. There are so many in the Harry Potter fandom. These people are nuts, but I'm part of it. And I acknowledge we're crazy, but we're super fun and we're super passionate. So yeah, I would say if you want to get involved, go to Pottermore. Get yourself sorted into a house, then you can start identifying with the house and buying the millions and billions of dollars worth of merch that there is to buy. But I think if you really want to understand this world, you've got to read the books.
Now, that's a pretty serious undertaking, right? Because there's 7 books, and I know that the later books especially tend to be like 800 plus pages.
They are, but the first books are real short.
Are scholastic learners, yeah.
Like, well, they're not that young, but you know, they're solid chapter books. But I just gave the first book to my niece and she's 8.
And my nephew reads them and he's 9 or so, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, he is 9, but like I believe that he read them around when he was like 8 or so. But is it the kind of thing where we can skip to the, for lack of a better term, more mature books?
Nope.
Skip to the films?
You can't. Well, and again, you can watch the movies and they do a pretty good job, but you lose a lot of the nuance. There is a lot of stuff that gets left out that can be pretty important to the plot.
Now, you're also a Lord of the Rings fan, right?
Yes.
Have you read those books?
Yes.
Do you think the movies are as good or if not better than the books?
I love the movies because I think they cut out a lot of the extra stuff. Now,
that's
kind of
what I was going for with it.
But that's not the case with Harry Potter. You don't have a lot of filler. And everything that happens in the first 3 books is setting up. Like, there are things that call back in every single book. There's a huge plot point in book 6 that started in book 2. So you really do have to read them all. But it's worth it. So J.K. is an amazing writer. The books are so funny, and the way she uses language is really great. She develops these amazing characters. I mean, I spent the entirety of book 7 sobbing because I love these characters so much and they go through so much. So I promise you will not regret it. I know very few people. I don't know a single child who has read these books and not loved them. So I think if you come to it as a kid, you're going to love it.
Yeah, but I'm 35 at this point. It's going to be hard for me to approach it from a child's vantage point.
I think you would enjoy it. And if you don't want to commit to reading, like physically sitting down and reading them, there are 2 different versions of the audiobooks. Both are great. Jim Dale does the American versions. He's an older British dude. Did you ever see Pushing Daisies, that show on TV?
I have not, no.
Okay, he was the narrator on that show. So he's got a great voice. I don't care for his lady voices, but they're very beloved, those audiobooks. And then Stephen Fry does the British versions. Those are my particular favorite. I re-listen to those books. I probably do re-listen to all of the books, the whole series, 3 or 4 times a year.
What year did the first book come out?
The first book came out in 98 or 97.
Okay. I was trying to place where I was when this whole thing first began, because Harry Potter is one of those things that just completely missed me.
Yeah, I mean, I think for our generation, if you didn't have someone give you the book or you didn't know a kid who was reading it and you picked it up that way, it was not necessarily something that you would have gravitated towards. I started reading the books when the third one was out. One of my best friends, her little sister was reading it. And she was like, I was really into children's books. I was going into publishing. That was my plan. So she gave them to me to read, and I like blasted through the first three, and book four came out that summer, and her little sister got it, and me, her little sister, my friend Gwen, and her mom all stole the book from each other the whole time we were on vacation because we were all so into it.
See, I hate to mention this aspect of it, but that sounds very similar to my experience with The Hunger Games, which was also...
I love The Hunger Games.
Quote unquote children's book. At least the first one was kind of pitched as a young adult novel to me.
It is a young adult novel. It is a young adult series for sure.
Yeah, it's certainly not written for a more sophisticated audience, but that's definitely.
I would argue that. I love those books. I'm a big, big, big fan of those books.
Mm. There's not a lot of.
Those are actually set down and read, believe that or not.
Yeah, I
believe it.
Yeah, they're very quick reads. Like I feel
they
like
very
I,
quick reads.
Yeah, I brought one on vacation and finished it like on the second day because I got most of it done on the plane. But I don't know. That's definitely a book series that I feel like the movies really dropped the ball with telling the story.
Big time.
For one, those movies are bad. But for another, like I didn't realize. Not that it would have been better if they had Jennifer Lawrence doing a lot of ADR like narration. But you lose so much by not being in the protagonist's head.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
Is that something that I would have to prepare myself for when it comes to Harry Potter?
No, the books are all told in third person, so you don't have to worry about that. And that's a really interesting point. Because so there's a lot of... It's a fandom where people really like to dig in and discuss. And there has been, especially with the most recent movies that have been coming out, there's been a lot of talk about the way JK has handled certain things in the books. So for example, after the book series finished, she came out and said that Dumbledore, who is he's the headmaster of Hogwarts School, and he's one of the most powerful wizards in the universe, is gay.
Mm-hmm. I remember when this was news.
Yes. Many, many, many people were very, very upset about it, it's not fair. She should have put it in the books to be explicit about it. Well, here's the thing. The majority of the books are told from Harry's point of view. Harry is notoriously not observant, especially about emotional stuff. So to me,
is there a lot of subtext in there that actually lends credence to the whole Dumbledore being gay thing, or does it? Because I remember when I heard that, the common consensus, and this has kind of jaded my opinion on it, was that this was thought of after the fact. Like, if you were going to make him gay, why wouldn't you make that part of the story so that it's actually like important? Because obviously, that's something that could make a lot of waves and something that. People would love to have a prominent gay character in their magical fantasy. And yet, you know, I don't know.
Right. Agreed. I think when you go back and you read the seventh book in particular, when it goes into Dumbledore's past, especially his young adulthood, his childhood, you get it. It's there. But again, you're seeing this through news reports and a book that's been written about the character because he is no longer with us when that book starts. Sorry, again, spoilers.
I've also heard that before. So
yes,
I don't think that there's much that can surprise me from the series at this point. Like I haven't followed it. I don't really, I've seen one of the movies, maybe two, not read any of the books. But it's so ubiquitous that it's impossible to avoid a lot of these things.
Right. Yeah, I think, it's tricky because, like, I get that point of view that, yes, it would have been great to have an explicitly gay character in the series, especially a leader like that character. But again, he's a very, very old man when the books begin. And everything you're seeing from Harry's perspective. So he doesn't know anything about Dumbledore in his life. That's kind of part of the story. So to me, it made sense. And there's a lot of complaints that come up that are like that. But the thing is, she has opened the door. She's created this world and she's let it loose for you to go and do anything you want with it. So there's a lot of fanfic that deals with gay characters, with more characters of color, different, you know, issues in the wizarding world that didn't fit into this specific story that Joanne was telling. So
wait, her name is Joanne?
Her real name is Joanne. A lot of children's book and YA authors who are women and who are writing male characters are persuaded to use their initials instead of their full name because boys won't read books by girls is the common, I think, incredibly erroneous
that's probably
idea.
Fair. It's probably a fair assumption.
Well, it is if your parents and teachers say, oh, you don't want to read that book. That's a book for girls. S.E. Hinton is another one. If you've ever read The Outsiders, that's why she goes by S.E. She is a woman.
That stands for Stephanie Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess if we are to get into it, like, what are the big things to look for? The big central themes that will make us into Potterheads suddenly? What's going to have Dave drinking butterbeer? What's going to have me spending like $50 on a specific wand? What's my Horcrux? How do I know any of this?
Well, you won't have a Horcrux, hopefully, because you have to murder to make one. So don't get into that.
I asked what my Horcrux was.
I need to know how I'm going to get into the Irish hooligan Quidditch gang.
Okay, you need to start following Quidditch. You need to choose an Irish team to follow, just like you would a football team, a British or, you know, football team, foot with soccer's, you know, soccer ball.
Football.
I think start, you know, figure out your house. That's a big way that people kind of really get their claws into this story. Like, identify
how accurate do I feel like a BuzzFeed quiz would be about that?
I would go to Pottermore, take the official quiz, but also, like, once you start reading the books, you will start to identify with a house. I've always been considered myself a Gryffindor, feel pretty strong about it. But like I said, I have some Hufflepuff tendencies. My boy feels very strongly that he is Ravenclaw, very strongly self-identifies.
He's an edgelord is what you're saying.
He's very smart. Mm. So yeah, like I really do think it starts with the books. You've got to read the books. The character, you're just going to fall in love with the characters. I mean, I think that's what she does really well, is creates these incredibly interesting characters. The main themes of the book are, you know, coming of age, friendship, created families, I think is a really big topic for her. It's like, what makes a family?
Because Harry's an orphan, right?
He is an orphan, and he is being raised by his horrible aunt and uncle who think that wizards are freaks and horrible, and they keep him in a cupboard under the stairs and make him cook for them. They are terrible people. And it's not until he goes to Hogwarts that he finds his best friends and his real family.
Aww.
And his true home.
He's a shitty cook is what you're saying. That's
what. Yeah, they don't really go into that if he's any good or not. There's a lot of fan fiction about him being a good cook. So take that with a grain of salt.
Of course there is.
And then there, you know, there's a lot of kind of a political, progressive political agenda about, you know, learning about understanding people who are different from you are, and, you know, why certain types of people are ostracized by society and why it's a bad idea to promote pure people. So yeah, there's a lot of that. It's great. I highly recommend it.
I guess I didn't realize how many Nazi undercurrents there were running through the world of Harry Potter.
Oh, it's straight up World War II. Like, there's secret underground resistance groups, all of that. It's very, very based on World War II. Hmm.
It's a shame. The Death Eater sounds like a cool name, too. All right. Since we probably should be moving on at this point, ultimate final question, the one thing that I absolutely have to know. The fuck happened to Voldemort's nose? Where is it? Why does he not have one?
So he has damaged himself very, very severely by murdering and doing very, very dark magic with that murder in his essentially taken away part of his humanity. And also, he is a descendant of Salazar Slytherin, whose symbol is a snake. And so he has a lot of snake-like qualities, including being able to talk to snakes.
Well, Harry can talk to snakes too, can't he?
He can. Keep that in mind. It's something that will come up and be important later in the books.
When they slice that snake in half with a sword, right?
No, not that, though that's a pretty big deal too.
So he didn't lose his nose on a wild bender with Artie Lang one weekend?
Yes, correct. Yes. He did not lose it in a
terrible accident. Dude, all that wizard cocaine, baby. I hate Harry Potter. Woo!
He did it through evil.
So, Jason, I guess going back to what we said a couple episodes ago, I'm willing to watch the first film if you are, and we could come back and discuss it.
I've seen the first movie.
It's not very
well, then
good.
I need to catch up. Then I'll watch it. I'll watch
that's
it.
The one that I know that I've seen.
You should read the first book. At least read the first three chapters and tell me what you think.
How about you read it to me?
Or you can get Stephen Fry to read it to you.
Yeah, we can go on audible.com and get that sort of thing.
You can.
I want Jason to read it to me because I'm sure he can come up with some fantastic voices.
That's true. I did recently read the young adult / children's book, I Need a New Butt, to my nephew. And it went over very well. He definitely enjoyed it.
Love it.
Yeah, well, why don't we take another quick break, step away for a moment, and then we'll come back and do our weekly picks and probably decide what house we're going to be in for Harry Potter. I don't know. I've got a firm idea, and then I guess BuzzFeed has another. But we'll see. Anyway, you were listening to Adventures of Pod Taste. We'll be back in just a moment. Party Cannon fucking rips. I actually hate it. It's too much. But you know, it's still nice that they decided to go, you know what? Fuck what everybody else says we should be doing. Let's get fucking silly.
Oh, that's hilarious. It's like the Party City logo.
It is like the Party City logo.
That's great.
You know what else is hilarious? Adventures in Pod Taste, the AIPT Comics podcast. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening to us talk about Party Cannon. Check them out. They're a fucking rad grindcore, I guess, technically, band. I'm not 100% sure which sort of metal subclass that they fall under, but you can find them online wherever you find your metal. You know what else you can find online? Adventures in Pod Taste. We're on Twitter. You can check us out at Pod Taste Podcast, I believe we're called. Shoot, I had it up just a second ago so that I would know the damn URL, and yet here we go.
Yes, Pod Taste Podcast. Just changed it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and at Pod Taste Podcast, if you're listening to this on the day we go live, you can find a tweet where you can win a DVD steelbook of the original RoboCop with all the special features, and I believe it's in Dolby, so you know, it's crazy that way. But we're back, and we've wrapped our Harry Potter conversation to an extent. I'm just going to acquiesce to what BuzzFeed says and say that I'm a Slytherin, which I hate snakes. I really fucking do. I'm definitely afraid of them. But I guess if I could talk to them, maybe I'd be less afraid of it. Be like, no, it's cool. I'm just a snake. I just like to eat rats and stuff. That's cool, man.
Take it to Party Cannon.
Yeah, me and Party Cannon just fucking hanging out with snakes talking all day. But it's now time for our weekly picks where we talk about what we're reading, watching, playing so you can get a little inside scoop on all the nerdery that is cool this week. Last week, I believe we started with Allie. So, Dave, what about you? What you reading, what you watching, what you playing?
Playing is simple enough. I'm trying to continue burning my way through Mafia 3. I wanted to come home and play a couple rounds of Blackout, but there's like another million gigabyte update to Call of Duty, so I did not get to that. That's it for playing. Watching. I watched that terrible Predator movie earlier this week. The one that has Olivia Munn.
Oh, your favorite.
I didn't think she was like one of the main characters.
She had evidently a much bigger role, but was like, it was shaved down, I believe.
I don't see how. She was in it too much. She was terrible, too. I mean, I don't like her anyway, but what was she, like a scientist? And then all of a sudden, by the end of the film, she's running around with a machine gun. Like, she's been a soldier her whole life. It was just terrible. The scenes with the predators were all right, but I expected a whole lot more coming from Shane Black, so he disappointed me with this one. And I don't need to see another Predator film. Let's just let the Predator and Aliens die off so we can remember their good films. Did you see it?
I've not seen it. Okay. I don't think Allie has seen it either.
Not planning to.
Yeah. So, reading, what have I read? I have two reviews going up tomorrow, today. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, number 4, where she's still jumping around from basically every horror legend. She's encountered Mary Shelley, Edgar Allan Poe, Bram Stoker, and now Vlad the Impaler is trying to stalk her and kill her. What else? Dick Tracy, Dead or Alive, number 3. And I'm a big Dick Tracy fan, so I've enjoyed this series. And there's only one more issue after this. And I hope IDW. Do what?
IDW.
Yeah. I hope they allow the All Reds to come together again and do another Dick Tracy story. So it's pretty solid. And they've even introduced like modern technology into his world. So instead of having like his normal trademark watch, he's using like smartphones and GPS and stuff. And I had to warm up to it, but once I did, I think it's pretty good the way they did it. So, and I have a bunch of stuff coming in the mail, movies and everything. I got the extended cut of Dune, which I've never seen. Yeah.
The David Lynch one.
Yes.
Oof.
Have you seen the extended then?
I've seen the regular, and that is enough.
Ah, see, I like Dune. But the extended one's like 47 extra minutes.
I'm interested in the book series. I'm interested in like the lore and stuff. The movie was just not very good. And it's not because Sting was in a fucking bikini the entire time.
That would be a bonus.
With wings.
That's an additional 47 minutes is him in a concert.
It's just him, like, waxing up the sides of his thighs so that he can get into this fucking metal bikini.
And singing about spices and sandworms.
Oh, yeah. All right. Allie, how about you? What you're reading, what you're watching, what you're playing?
So, I have been watching... are y'all familiar with the Canadian sitcom Letterkenny?
I am not.
No, I haven't heard of that.
It is started as a web series in Canada, and then it was popular enough that they picked it up, turned it into a full series. There are now 7 seasons of it on Hulu, and I blasted my way through the first 2 seasons. I'd seen bits and pieces of it here, like I think I'd seen some of the YouTube sketches that they did. It's about a bunch of people who live in this small town in Ontario called Letterkenny, and it's foul mouth. It's definitely not PC, but it's so freaking funny. And it's stupid and smart at the same time, which is one of my favorite combinations. I really love stupid, smart things. So if you enjoy, I don't even know. I don't even think I can describe it. Just go check it out. I think the two of you specifically would enjoy it. So it's a half hour comedy on Hulu. Also, super, super excited that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is back. Mm-hmm. Fresh onto its debut on NBC. The first episode of the season was delightful. It's right on pitch. I enjoyed it very much. So super happy to have that back on my TV. As for reading, I have 2 reviews coming out this week on AIPTComics.com. And they are Wicked and Divine and... Catwoman, which I'm really excited to read because they are the artist by Joelle Jones, who is my massive, massive girl crush. So I'm super excited for that. And the other thing that I'm reading, I got this book for Christmas. I have not started it yet, but I'm really excited about it. It's called Invisible, The Forgotten Story of the Black Woman Lawyer Who Took Down America's Most Powerful Mobster. So it is the life story of this black female author named Eunice Hunton Carter. And she took down Lucky Luciano. And it's the story of her life and how she took down this very, very famous, powerful mobster. And I'm really excited to start it.
Oh, yeah. Sounds interesting. Lucky Luciano, I only really know from...
Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah. Where he had VD and was doing that guy's mom.
Those were probably both accurate things that happened in his
life. Oh, I imagine it was. Yeah, he didn't seem like an okay dude. Cool. As for me watching, this past weekend I finally saw Spider-Verse. Really dug it. Especially loved the after credits sequence. I don't think it was as revelatory and like world-changing as everyone seems to think it is. I'm happy that Miles got a good movie. And that one of the cuter things that came out of it, actually, a friend of mine's infant son called Miles real Spider-Man and called Peter Parker other Spider-Man, which I thought was kind of neat. I thought the voice work was all pretty strong. The animation was cool. I guess it was just not like it felt like a standard, if well done, like, cartoon action movie.
You didn't think the animation was just so cool?
It didn't blow my mind. Like, there were elements of it I enjoyed, but then other stylistic choices I wasn't crazy about. Like, I like conceptually that Kingpin looked like a fucking wall moving because he's supposed to be that imposing, but then again he also looks surreal, and like, I don't know, the rest of the characters they make some effort to make look realistic. I liked, with the obvious exception of Spider-Ham, but I liked the different spider people having somewhat different animation styles. I thought that was a kind of a neat touch. A lot of Easter eggs. Again, the appearance of Spider-Man 2099 at the end. I love it. Really good, but not fantastic. I'd say third best Spider-Man movie now.
Oh, I think you were so wrong. You were so wrong.
Still not topping those first two Sam Raimi movies. Although to be fair, I fucking absolutely hate the "you mess with New York, you mess with all of us" lines from Spider-Man 1. And fucking Aunt May's "there's a hero in all of us" speech from Spider-Man 2 was also really bad. But you know, I digress. Reading, not anything really new. I've been keeping up to date with Uncanny X-Men, but since it's Tuesday when we record this and I'm not the one reviewing the book, I haven't gotten to see issue 10 yet, which is supposed to be the end of this first arc. And hopefully when they get back to having just one writer instead of this too many cooks situation that they got going on, that kind of makes the book feel bland and dragged out. And playing just more Red Dead Redemption. I've really gotten into the hunting thing. I've gotten all but like two outfits. I have the thing about some of the special collectibles is that you have to do like shitty things to get them. And I feel bad, like, to get like cowhide, you literally have to kill a cow in a pen to skin it. And that sucks. I don't want to do that. That feels like a shitty thing to do. But I also am the kind of nerd where I'm like, but there's a fucking, I needed to get this one outfit that I'm literally never going to wear, but I need to have everything.
Nerd.
So, yeah. Yeah. I'm on this fucking show. Of course I am. but anyway, thank you so much for making it this far into Adventures in Pod Taste, an AIPT Comics podcast. Once again, you can check us out on Twitter at Podcast Podcast. Follow us, like us, subscribe, all that good stuff. You can check us out everywhere that you can find podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple, of course. We're on, I don't know, we're on your mom's phone. Check us out. Call her. She misses you. Yeah, like, share, subscribe, send us a review. Why not? I don't know. Do all the nice things. If you want to do that to us individually, you can find my co-host Dave online at...
Found me on Twitter at psychotic, and that's spelled S-Y-C-O-T-I-C. Also on Instagram, psychotic_episode.
You can find my other co-host, Allie Jackson, at
A-L-Y-J-A-C-K on Twitter and Instagram, where you can see now not only pictures of my adorable cats, but pictures of my amazing Christmas cactus and her babies.
The Christmas cactus has babies? Are you talking about the flowers on the Christmas cactus?
No, I've taken cuttings from her. I'm propagating her, so now she's got three little babies that are starting to bloom.
That's pervice. And I'm Jason. You can find me online as Felix Lancaster, spelled as it's pronounced, British. It's just Felix Lancaster. That other part is just an unfunny joke that I add onto it every time I say it. Don't try to think that my handle on Twitter and Instagram is 27 characters. That's a bit much. But yeah, you can find me there. Find me also on adventuresandpoortaste.com, AIPTcomics.com if you're into the brevity thing. And yeah. Anything else you guys want to say before we head out?
Enter the contest.
Oh,
yeah. You got to, let's say, 5 Eastern today, and then we will figure out a winner and announce it.
All right. Well, then we'll chat you next time on Adventures in Pod Taste, an AIPT Comics podcast.
Good night, Japan.